Back in the 90s, Iceland had the highest rate of teen alcohol and drug use and smoking in Europe. Today, it has the lowest rate. And the approach the Nordic nation has used to tackle the teen substance abuse problem is being adopted by other countries across the globe. Last night, it was announced that the program, which is known as Planet Youth, will be trialled here in Australia at 10 sites in partnership with the Alcohol and Drug Foundation. Jon Sigfusson is the director of Planet Youth with Reykjavik's University's Icelandic Centre for Social Research and Analysis. He's in our Melbourne studios this morning. Jon Sigfusson, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the invitation.
In 1998, Jon, this program was kicked into gear. How bad? Can you give us a sense of the teen substance abuse problem in Iceland at the time?
Yes, as you said before, it was the highest in Europe. If we look at our 10th graders, 15 and 16-year-old, about 42% of them had become drunk for the past 30 days. 23% of them had were daily smokers, and 17% had tried cannabis. Today, this is all gone down to one figure numbers. Smoking has almost disappeared, 2%. Getting drunk is around 6%, and those who have tried cannabis, 7%. So it's the lowest today.
That's a remarkable turnaround. What was the period it took to get closer to these low levels?
We started seeing a change. This model, we don't call it a program because programs have a beginning and an end, but
sure.
This model was initiated in 1998. And then in about 5 years, we started seeing a positive trend downwards.
Right. That's fantastic. How did you do it, Jon? Tell us about it.
There's no silver bullet. What was decided at the time was to, basically three things. We had a lot of data that had been collected from schools since 1992 until 98. And we could see in this data that there were certain factors linked with the fact if children started to use drugs or not in the environment, risk and protective factors. So the shortest version was that we decided to try to strengthen the preventive factors and weaken or eliminate the risk factors. And this was built on three pillars. We use evidence. We don't make decisions about something in our children's lives without having evidence. You have to do that wherever you work.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we always work on a community basis or a district basis. We never look at the whole country at the same time. You can do your own garden, but you cannot do everybody else's garden.
Mm-hmm.
And the third part is the dialogue. We've kept an open dialogue between researchers, policymakers, practitioners, parents, and it's a long-term commitment, and it's been working.
Let's look at some of the elements of it. If we talk about, this reducing the risks, one of the measures was to provide every child with a 400 euro, that's about 650 Australian dollar, voucher to cover the cost of joining a sports or activity club. I think they could do music, they could do sport, any art thing. Is that come under reducing the risk category? Is that about keeping kids busy?
Yes, it is. Actually, you're referring to the Reykjavik City Leisure Card that was initiated in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. And we could see from the data that participating in organized extracurricular and quality-controlled extracurricular activities, this was a very clear preventive factor. But the activities have to be of a high quality with good trainers and good facilities.
And so what about talking the kids into going? I mean, kids at that age are notoriously resistant to any ideas their parents have and often just want to sit around in their room and sort of, do what they do.
That has been turned around, and so motivating. I mean, you have this 400 euros approximately every year for every child, every child from the age of 6 to 18. And today, more than 90% of children from the age of 6 to 13 are participating in some sort of an organized activity, and the number of activities are endless. And
I think that's wonderful. And I guess that brings you into the strengthening the protective factors as well, because, yes, you know, getting involved at a young age in extracurricular activities is good, can be very good for your personal development and your cooperative, you know, working with others, that sort of thing. And key, yes, to this, I notice, apart from promoting alternative recreation activities, strengthening family ties, it's also improving self-efficacy, which is a person's experience of competence and self-regard, and building social confidence, comfortably and responsibly relating to others. So this is about building personal resilience into young children.
Well, yes, you can say that, but we have not been, you know, focusing directly on teaching the children and telling them how to behave or act. We've been focusing on trying to change the environment, that is, teach the parents how they should act and behave, teach teachers, teach sports clubs, and you know, teach those who are actually taking care of children. We don't want children to be responsible for their own well-being. We, as a society, we must be responsible. So we have to provide them with all the things necessary.
And how do you do that? How are you teaching the parents? Because, as I say, strengthening family ties is part of this. So what kind of programs are getting the parents engaged?
Well, programs, yes, but this all starts with evidence. And we've been telling parents about things that we have seen from the data, from the evidence, how they should act. I mean, one of the biggest preventive factors is time spent with their children. We tell parents that you need to spend as much time as you can, not necessarily the quality, the overrated quality time, but quantity time. We teach parents that the children who report getting caring and warmth are less likely to start using drugs. Children who are monitored positively, parents know where they are in the evening or at night or with friends, these children are less likely to start using drugs. And we are always telling parents how they can be engaged. And there have been programs and initiatives and campaigns towards this for many years.
Remarkable. We've only got a minute or so to the news, but it's been announced overnight that Australia is 20 countries already use Planet Youth. Australia is now going to trial it in 10 trial sites across Australia the next 2.5 years. How easily is Planet Youth adapted for different cultural settings?
It's a very logical model, and you don't adapt it in any of the countries where we're working. You adopt. It's culturally adopted, and I've been talking to the people at the Alcohol and Drug Foundation and the people who will be taking care of the pilot in the 10 sites, and I have full confidence that they will perform brilliantly in all this.
It sounds wonderful. Jon, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jon Sigfusson is the director of Planet Youth with Reykjavik University's Icelandic Centre for Social Research and Analysis. This Planet Youth has had remarkable results, as he mentioned. Over 5 years from 98, the number of Year 10 students who'd been drunk in the past 30 days fell from 42% to 5%. And the number of Year 10 students using cannabis once declined from 17% to 6%. And overnight, it's been announced there will be trial sites in Australia: Limestone Coast, Murray Bridge, Glenorchy, Huon Valley, Hepburn, Northern Mallee, Blue Mountains, Lithgow and Marrickville.